Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, and affectionately known to us locals as the District of Columbia. I'm supposed to make this disclosure. My name is Jacob Andow, and I have no relationships or conflicts of interest to disclose. Okay. This is the District of Columbia, and some of us know it as the city that is held up by two rivers, the Potomac River and the Anacostia River. It is not only the home of the White House and the Lincoln Monument and many other monuments, but it is also home to about 600,000 residents. DCPC, that is the acronym for the District of Columbia Primary Care Needs Assessment, DCPC. District of Columbia Primary Care. It is a 20-year study that I have been conducting, and it started in 1985 under the then Commissioner of Public Health, Dr. Andrew McBride. Primary care for this study is defined as the five major specialties for primary care: general practice, family practice, OBGYN, pediatrics, and internal medicine. And the visits that are made to these five specialty, primary care specialties are known as primary care visits. The objectives of the DCPC study was to measure the level of physician supply and the demand for primary care services from the population, and to determine if the available services were adequate to represent the needs of the district, and importantly, to provide baseline data to be used in the future for evaluating and planning for primary care services. We have several questions that the study wanted to answer. How best do you determine the need for primary care as well as the demand for primary care in an urban area? You need to know the total number of physicians. You need to know the number of primary care physicians. You need to know how many are specialists. You need to know the low birth weight by census tract. You need to know the poverty level. You need to know what resources are available. I mean, there are so many variables. The question is, how do you put it all together? DCPC is the methodology that put it all together. Essentially, the methodology consists of calculating three basic indexes for each census tract or census tract grouping: PCSI, Primary Care Service Index, CNS, Composite Need Index, Index Score, and PCPS, Primary Care Priority Score. What is PCSI, Primary Care Service Index? It is the ratio of satisfied visits, visits that are actually made by residents, divided by the total potential visits. Okay, satisfied visits divided by total potential visits that exist in a community. CNS, Composite Need Score. This is a score that is calculated for each census tract using the percent of residents living below poverty level and also the low birth weight percentages, the percentage of all live births that are low birth weight. So two things go into CNS computation: poverty levels, low birth weight. And then primary care priority score. This is a score that is obtained when you do a cross-tabulation of primary care service index and composite need score. A score of 1 means the area needs has a high need for primary care, 2 is moderate, 3 is low. And this is how the cross-tab goes. A community that has high CNS, a high need, and low satisfied visits, of course, gets a 1. It's a high need community. A community that gets a green, relatively low need, and high satisfied visits. Now, this data comes from the National Health Interview Survey and the National Center for Health Statistics. According to NCHS and NHIS, one physician can generate so many visits. Okay, so if you have several physicians in a community, depending on the physician density in that community, these are the number of visits that the one physician can generate. Now, from the standpoint of residents in the population, one person, one individual can make so many visits per year, depending on their age and depending on whether they are poor or non-poor. Okay? So, for example, an elderly person is estimated to make 5.1 primary care visits if he or she is non-poor, but 8.1 visits per year if he or she is poor, according to the U.S. Census. So this is an overview of the methodology. Each resident of the district is put into a census tract, and a collection of census tracts is called census tract grouping. The primary care service index is calculated, the composite mean score is calculated, and the primary score is calculated for that census tract grouping. There are a lot of acronyms in this study. DC is District of Columbia, DCPC is the primary care study, CT is census tract, CTG is census tract grouping. And I want to make special reference to the five P's. The five P's are the major entities that are responsible and interested in primary care. They are planners, policymakers, primary care practitioners or physicians, other providers, and the public. These are the five P's. This is a map of the District of Columbia, according to the 2000 census, showing the census tracts in the district. Now, the District of Columbia is organized politically by what is called wards. There are eight wards in the district. They are political and judicial boundaries. They are not very amenable to public health research. So one of the aims of this study was to come up with a logical and reasonable grouping of census tracts. That makes sense. All right. This study came up with the concept of census tract grouping, CTG. And each CTG in this district is defined by four things: the housing density in the area, the ethnic mix in the community, access of the community to health facilities, and the identity of the community. So this is how it goes. For example, CTG 1. Has a high housing density. It is mostly Hispanic and immigrants. It has access to a public health center, and it is essentially a well-defined neighborhood. CTG 8, high density, majority black population. It has access to two public health centers, Anacostia and Congress Heights, and it is the one CTG that conforms to a ward. CTG 8 is the same as Ward 8 in the District of Columbia. There are 11 CTGs in this study. This is how the CTGs are mapped, 1 through 11. Baseline. Let's look at the District of Columbia compared to other cities in terms of the number of available physicians. Washington, D.C. and Newark, New Jersey are quite similar. We have a lot of physicians per 1,000 population. You compare that to Atlanta, New York, Baltimore, Detroit, Birmingham, Alabama, Gary, Indiana, and you see that those two cities are way ahead of the game. We have a lot of physicians. In 1989, 1990, this is a map of the district by poverty. The areas that are dark shaded have 40% or more of persons living in poverty. We call that the extreme poverty areas. The other shaded areas are 20 to 40% poverty. So this is how it goes. In 1989, 33% of district residents were below the poverty level. In 2010, according to the U.S. Census, the number has dropped to 19.2%. It's a significant drop. But if you compare D.C. to Maryland and Virginia, 19.2% poverty is still very high. Maryland is 9.9%, Virginia is 11.1%. These are the results. If you look at the number of active physicians per 100,000 population, in the District of Columbia, it's pretty much leveling off, but it is still pretty stable and pretty high. Now, you look at the availability of physicians by census tract grouping, and you can see, look at CTG 8. CTG 8 and 7 and 1. You can right away see that these are the areas where physicians per 100,000 population are very, very low, and they continue to be low. This is a map that summarizes the study. Every dot you see on the map is one or more primary care physicians. Look at where the dots are. They're sort of west of the Anacostia River. This is where most of the dots are. This is where the physicians are located. There are very few physicians east of the Anacostia River, but that is where poverty is the greatest. Same thing here when you look at dependent children, children who need help. Most of them live east of the river. These are the red and orange and yellow areas. But there are very few physicians located here. Most of the physicians are west of the river. So you see the trend. There was a 12.6% decrease from 1985 to 2000. The study. Excuse me. Okay. All right. These are the numbers in terms of how many physicians are licensed, how many physicians actually practice, and how many physicians are primary care. You can see that the numbers are going down. The primary care portion of physicians are decreasing. And this is how the decrease goes. Look at the total number of primary care physicians going down and the total number of physicians licensed to practice in the city. When you break it down by specialty, internal medicine, steeply going down. Pediatrics, pretty flat. OBGYN and family practice, consistently going down in the district. You break it down by CTG, this is what you get. Okay. So we put the composite need and the primary care service index together, and you come up with areas in the district that must be put on a high priority list. Those areas are highlighted in yellow. So from 85 to 2004, 20-year period, you begin to see where the need is. Look at the red areas, CTG 11, 7 and 10, high need. That was in 1985. 1992, CTG 9, 7, 8, 10, 11, high and moderate. 2004, 20 years later, it is still 7 and 8 and 10. This model, because I collected the data over a 20-year period, we did a lot of multiple regression analysis to see if we can predict in the future what the poverty rates and the need rates will be. And yes, the logistic model came up with a very significant predicting factor. I go back to the five P's, policymakers, planners, physicians, program staff, and the public. Recommendations, each of the five P's has something to do to ensure that primary care is adequate and sufficient in the District of Columbia. Now, granted, I collected the data over a 20-year period. I'm not suggesting that you collect data over 20 years. You can do this for 1 year, or 2 years, or 3 years, as long as you can get all the data together. My email is available, and I'll be glad to correspond with you in terms of the methodology. Thank you very much.